That song isn't popular. Too many Christians that are Bible baptized in Jesus' name are afraid to sing that song. There has to be a reason why they have some reservations about lifting up their voice with that song unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't you believe He's a wonder? Isn't He sweet? Don't you love Him and adore Him? What's wrong with it? Somebody said, well, the terminology there, the Son of God. Let me tell you something. Everything that we are and all that we ever hope to be is enshrined in our lovely Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I want to say that I'm so thrilled and privileged to be in this gathering today. I certainly appreciate each of my minister friends that are here, the noble pastor of this assembly, whose friendship I dearly treasure. It seems like this is a ritual, a feast day that I must keep, not just because I happen to be on this schedule. I want to be here. And I love Brother Cabinets, his family, his church, his people. Praise God. Love him enough to know that many times I just get on the phone, dial his number, comes easy. Just want to hear him speak. He makes a lot of sense in these days. And he hasn't changed with his messenger ministry since I've known him. I wouldn't want him to change. And I find myself at times letting this man be a conscience to me. I like the things he stands for. And some of the things he don't believe in, I find it affects me. You better learn how to touch base now and then with other ministers. Worst thing you can do is go it alone. But I want you to turn with me now to the book of Psalms, chapter 45. I want to read to you from the 45th division of Psalms, verse number 1. This is written by David. The reason I know that, don't have his name on it. You have a little trouble trying to find out who wrote a psalm. If they don't have their name, well, just back up a little bit. There might be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, psalms, but suddenly you'll run across some that has a name. That means that man wrote that one and all these successive psalms until it tells about somebody else's name or David puts his own down. A psalm of David and written to the chief musician. That's what I liked about him. If he had troubles or a note of repentance, a confession, he didn't run around covered up. He handed the whole psalm of his sin and sorrow to the chief musician and said, I want you to sing it on the highest hill. Here's one he wanted sung upon Shoshanim for the sons of Korah, Maskell, a song of loves. Three times you'll find the songs were dedicated to be sung upon Shoshanim. This means upon the lilies. This is a song of matrimony, a song that deals with the king, his bride, talks about his love. And I'm just reading one verse of scripture. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. God bless you. You may be seated. I propose to speak to you today on this subject, the ministry and the inheritance of the Son. I want to take this message and talk to you about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I do not know everything that I'd like to know about the beginning. All that I know is what little bit I've gathered in the Word of God in my studies throughout the years. I got a little bit here and a little bit there, but I found enough here to make me appreciate the topic I'm going to present to you today. Before I go any further, I have some companion scriptures I'd like to read to you. And one of them is in Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want verses 17 to 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Many years ago, when I read this, quickly passed by, I just found myself quoting this thought, this scripture, that it's the hope of my calling, of your calling. But I want you to note this particular way that it's written here, the hope of His calling. Saints, if we have any hope at all, it's in His hope. Our future here and hereafter is all wrapped up in Him. Praise the Lord. There's no way that we can get beyond that. Praise God. And I propose to speak to you in a little while about some of this. I was a little slow in getting my thoughts together for this. I typed out some thoughts here a couple of days before I drove down, or up rather, and I quickly got some scriptures. I was somewhat hesitant to even preach this. So many people feel like a message along this line is old hat. Some don't appreciate it. But I suddenly, a couple years ago, I found myself just hungering to hear somebody preach on the Godhead. Just simple Godhead scriptures. This is a day in which preachers want to appear to be eloquent. They memorize some lovely phrases. They have developed an art of a sort in knowing just when to peek out, to preach. They know how to manipulate the voice. They can tell little stories that will move you. They will. They even get you down to the altar, but when you get up and go home, you still have nothing. I notice the other brethren who have ministered here, they've all touched on this. Evidently, this is what God wants us to hear in this day and time. And if you don't learn this and don't get this, and I'm simply going to be here just as a plain explainer, teacher. We have so accustomed ourselves and attuned ourselves here, and for Bible lessons, a man has to come and present it to us in a colorful way, or we don't receive it. But I just want to do it old-fashioned style. Is that all right? I want to just go through some of our basics. Every now and then I tell the church, just a minute, we got a new convert here. If we don't get many, when we do, everybody's going back to boot camp. You're going to hear this for 3 months. Say, what for? I'm trying to put a foundation under somebody. You're going to hear it from every angle. And I want all of you to memorize scriptures, and I give them scriptures to memorize and get up. You say, you run a church like that? Well, if you have a better way, tell me. Praise the Lord. Until they can get the revelation, I'm going to give it to them by rote. Praise the Lord. I'm going to drill it in there. I said, drill it in there. That's the way they went to school back in McGuffey's day. They just memorized it. Got it in the warp and the woof of the whole human anatomy until they suddenly found themselves believing it. Now, some of you people have convictions now. You didn't have it first. You just went along with it. Praise the Lord. Next thing you know, the light come on. Praise God. And so, here I'm talking about the hope of the calling. And aren't you glad that he had a hope? We'll explain it to you directly. In the book here of Hebrews, second chapter, let us read here verses 10 to 17. I have so much typed out, I just can't think anymore. I just can't hardly remember. I've got a reader back here. We used to have readers back in church. Praise the Lord. Got up to preach a message on the Godhead. You had him read the scripture. And you quoted every word right after him. Made the sermon last a little longer in those days. Praise the Lord. You know, he didn't have right. It's true. It lasted a little bit longer. And they went over it, drilled it in the people. They heard it two times. Verse number 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I started out this Pentecostal way in a Trinity Pentecostal church. You say, well, could you get the Holy Ghost in a Trinity Pentecostal church? Well, in those days you could. What we know about oneness now, it came from there. Our origin here. Brother Haywood was that. Until suddenly he got the revelation. He walked on. I don't believe you can get the Holy Ghost in your Trinity Church nowadays.
Right.
Really? It's all of... It's different. Oh, I can prove that easy. And we'll get to that pretty soon, perhaps. But I want you to notice, he wasn't ashamed to call them brethren. They used to refer to Jesus Christ when I was in the Assembly of God Church. The man was, matter of fact, the man who was my pastor rented the little building that they had the Azusa Street Revival in. And, of course, I shook a lot of the hands and heard their testimonies, and it was all exciting. But they called Jesus our elder brother. That's all the revelation they had. Some of you who came that route, you understand what I'm saying. They sang this song, Jesus, the Son of God. But we have a different understanding when we sing it than they had when they sang it. Isn't that it? Praise the Lord. We understand the Son. If you don't, you better you better get in a hurry and understand about the Son of God if you want to go to heaven. Because all of heaven is wrapped up in the sonship. Praise the Lord. And so, verse 12, he says this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And when we begin to learn how to worship God in our assemblies, I want you to know that Jesus said he would lead this singing. He'd be in the middle here singing praises to God. Right in the midst of the church. Well, he's here in spirit now. Praise the Lord. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And so I am reading just these little thoughts to you, trying to get you to understand what God has prepared for us. Praise the Lord. I know it in the Old Testament, there was much spoken about the coming one. They did not understand God like you do. How privileged this generation is. You know, this generation reminds me of rich men's children who have everything they want and don't know how to appreciate it. Somebody climbed many a hill to bring truth to each one of us. Somebody suffered. Some people were kicked out of churches, dropped from organizations, sacrificed, run out of town, jailed, hurt, went hungry, starved, died, looked poor. Lonely people. But they held on and preserved the truth that God embedded deep in their hearts. And it ought to mean something to us today, regardless of what fragment of it that comes to our minds. We ought to thank God for every beautiful, lovely particle of revelation. Praise God. Praise God. And so I find that way back yonder in Eden, God gave a promise of a coming one, of a son that would be. They didn't understand what that promise meant. They had no understanding at all about the sonship. No one did. Prophets prophesied about it under the white heat of holy unction. All that they know, God told them there would be a coming one. And so they understood it to be the anointed or the Messiah or the Christ. They went, prophets told about it. And each succeeding generation waited for that. They taught it to their children. Little by little, the great God of glory gave them some little additional truth of revelation. It did not come all at once. It was line upon line. It was line upon line. It was here a little and there a little. And then again, here a little and there a little. No one man received it all. It doesn't matter who they were or what paramount peak of ability or anointing or leadership or calling they had in God. They only knew so much. I mean, the least of our Sunday school children today, they knew more than some of those people way back there who were great men in the Bible than they understood about God. They followed sometimes just blindly in obedience. They were jealous. They knew they were separated and different. They stayed with it. They fought for it. At times when God had a leader come and raise them up, they championed the cause and quickly fell back down again. All they knew was just a little bit of the name. Oh, God, help us. But one day in Eden, a tragedy happened. And when it happened, God said, I have one son, Adam. Oh, Luke said he was a son of God. He came fresh from the mold of the fingers of God. He created him. But then in that garden, he fell. I mean, in a beautiful surrounding, he missed it. And having fallen, he had the same outward looks, but something happened inside. And God said, "It's not over. It's not over." I mean, in this great plan of salvation, there is a built-in provision for any wrong that would ever happen to make it right. I mean, the captain of our salvation, the originator of this salvation, let me tell you, he made a provision for the restoration of anyone. Praise God. He said, there will be the seed of the woman that'll bruise the head of that serpent. They didn't understand it. Noah, he looked around. Don't think that God's going to give up on this. First, let me tell you this. Esau wasn't the only one that ever sold his birthright. There's been a whole lot of good people throughout the years that let it all go down. There's been times when God got so vexed. Well, for instance, one time with Moses, when he saw the people dancing around the golden calf, shamed themselves before one another and the God of heaven, he said, "Moses, stand back."
Right.
He said, I'll take them all out here in one breath. And I'll start all over again with you. You say, what's that mean? That means God determined if some don't go through, He'll take one man and He'll take him through. God said, I have a purpose. I have a plan. And God wants this thing to go through, whether you stay in it or not. That's not going to bother God if you want in, get in. If you want out, help yourself. Get out. But God's going to have a check. Oh, yes, yes. He had Noah when he let the world all suffer and be undated here with this flood, deluge they call it. He took one man, one family, started all over again. Praise the Lord. You don't know how many times God's looked down at people and said they're not going to go anywhere. These people who pride themselves in their religious denominations, you don't know how often God just looked and said, well, shall I exterminate them here with one breath? How often He comes in His love and His mercy and He gives us just a little more grace. I'm talking to Pentecostal people today. We wear and bear the name of Him who is high and holy. And if we don't produce our name. You know, I preached a sermon the other night in our church. The name of it says First Pentecostal Church. I just got up and I preached on first. We're first. I mean first. This thing was born in the mind of God before the world began. I preached on Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? And finally preached on what it takes to be a church. With only one in town that has a rightful use of the name. First Pentecostal Church. Everything else is underneath, beneath, or afterwards, or no kin. Praise the Lord. Amen. God got a hold of one man by the name of Abraham. Remember this. He took him out of a heathen environment. Took him from the city of Ur of the Chaldees. The Tower of Babel and all of its mumbling and the dividing of the languages where they couldn't understand one another. That was big news in Abraham's day. And after that, God took this one man and said, I'm going to start with you. He started with him, and from him comes a nation. From that nation comes the Messiah. And from that Messiah comes a church. All right, but God said, I will have a son. I will have someone to follow in my steps. All right. Now, as these people went on, I bring this to you. God gave first the covenant to Abraham. It was renewed with Isaac. We see it then in the sons of Jacob. They're all put in here and the plan is set in motion. They have the tabernacle worship and all of that. That's real beautiful. But finally, when you get down to Samuel, suddenly here comes another crisis. I mean, a real tragedy. A crisis here has come into the land. The people are beginning to complain and mumble and said, "We'd like to have a king. We want a king. We want to be like other people. We have too many people, even you who are in this assembly. You're really not satisfied with Pentecost as it is. If we would let you have your way, believe me, we would have no standards. We would have no worship. We would have no rules, no government in the church. We would have singing programs or movies here, or God only knows what all. And that sometimes each of us in turn may become a little slack in our ministry. I say this. And all of a sudden here comes someone else. Comes up and God has him all stirred up. And he begins to preach what we need to do. You see, God not only had a priesthood, but he wasn't even trusting the priesthood. He had a little system here of checks and balances, so over here, out of nowhere, didn't have to be the tribe of Levi, God had a prophet. And here comes a prophet that God called as a boy. And he said, "Samuel, I want you to talk to the people. They want a king. Let's anoint him a king. I'll give them what they want." But the Bible said God gave him a king in anger and he took it away in wrath. God may give you what you want, but he can be the thing which will destroy you. That don't mean you're going great places because God lets you have what you want. Whether it's your program or your desire or whatever it may be, sometimes God gives you what you have to let it destroy you. Praise God, praise God. I want to call your attention to a favorite voice, a word of Scripture here. The voice of the prophet Isaiah. I'm getting so much, I can't remember anymore. I can't think. But I'm thankful I could stand today and tell you that my lovely Lord, He came with a ministry. I'm speaking of His own ministry. And He has an inheritance. And for this, I speak it to you today on behalf of Him. It was Isaiah in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. How many ever read that before? Praise the Lord. How does it go? "For unto us a child is born. Unto us." What happened? "A son is given." All right, I sat down just thinking yesterday. Why did Jesus come? We are taught always He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's true. That's one of the reasons why He came. Why else did He come? Have you not read that He came to destroy the works of the devil?
Yeah.
What other reason? What was the prime reason for His coming? I submit this to you today. I personally believe the main reason Jesus came, first of all, was to reveal God to a blind world, dull of hearing, blind in their eyes. First, God thinks of Himself. You understand this? He was so complete without us, He could have made it forever without us. He did not need us. He did not need anything you could give Him. He don't even need your singing or your running or your jumping or your preaching or anything. The God that we're complete in is complete in Himself. He didn't even need angels. He didn't need an angel. Praise the Lord. He don't have moods. He don't need us to strum on an instrument to make him feel good. God is God. If he was all up there by himself, he had enough. But I'm glad that one day, he had us in mind. He had us in mind. Unto us. Unto us. A son is given. I want to talk about that son. What else did it say about him? Praise God, he'll put the whole thing right here in the church's lap. He's the head and we're the body. We're packing a lot on our shoulders. And if you have anything to represent, it's this marvelous revelation. I never will forget that preacher, old seasoned preacher. I went to preach a camp meeting back in the mid-40s in California, my first camp. And he said, by this Godhead. He said, there's not an ounce of salvation in that. He's one of the big leaders. Not an ounce of salvation in that. I want you to know, according to my Apostle Paul, he said, if we didn't understand His eternal power and Godhead, we are without excuse. Friend, this is a life and a death situation. They taught me a long time ago. I never will forget those early days when I came into the Oneness Church. You know, I told you I sought for somebody to baptize me for 2 years. Couldn't find a Oneness Church. Trinity boy looking for a Oneness Church. I'd ask them, they say, oh, well, look, we'll get that out of you. I said, I don't want it out of me. Hey, well, I look in the Bible, I read it. It's there. I hear it's on this page, it's in this chapter. I don't want it out of me. I just want to know whether somebody baptized me in Jesus' name. That's how I met your uncle, Mom. Praise the Lord. The war started, and they sent me one of those envelopes. They opened it up. It said, greetings. President of the United States wants you to report for induction. He greeted me. So God let a war be started so I could get up and... I said, that's the way God let the war start, so I could send a boy to her church to marry. But that's where I got baptized in Jesus' name. And I thank God for that. Never been ashamed of it. Been stuck on it ever since. Gone to seed on it ever since. Praise the Lord. Love it today like I did way back then. Sitting there with a bare bulb overhead, cross-legged on the bed, flipping the pages, and here's another one. Hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. Turn up, here's another one. Glory. Well, that's the way it was. I said. Cried, read it, clapped my hands. Camera sounded goofy. It felt good. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. I mean, they all don't know this. Praise the Lord. And so I thought of that, and I was just so thrilled about it. But I won't give you the reason for his coming. Now, to get me Revelation 11 and 15. Would you do that for me? Now, who is this coming son? Now we got to figure this out. My mind don't think very clearly. As I get older here, I'm having a time. I have to pick out my wallet sometimes and open it up, look it in there to see what my phone number is. Do you do that? Children, when the children say, we love Dad to go to the store. Mother sends me over there for some groceries. And I said, okay. He said, Dad, here's the list. So you better write it down. No. I'm too proud. Say, I can't remember 4 articles. So I get the little wagon and I push it down each row. Can't think of anything. I just start putting stuff on it. And then when I get back, the children say, we always like Dad to go to the store. He brings back so many nice things, different things. And I'm hoping that in all that I get, that I at least get one or two of the items they really wanted. You got the scripture yet? You're a slow reader.
The seventh angel sounded.
All right, the seventh angel sounded.
There were great voices in heaven.
There were great voices in heaven saying,
the kingdoms of this world
are become the kingdoms of our Lord
and of His Christ.
And He shall reign forever and ever. All right, connected with the coming of this one from heaven was this mission to capture, control, and rule over all the kingdoms of this world. All right, and then alongside of that, another special kingdom called the kingdom of God. Why did he come? The king came for a kingdom. A kingdom is not complete without people. Praise the Lord. And so he came to be a king. He was not born a sinner. He was born a king. He was born a savior. He was born God in the form of man. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus Christ, when he came, had a reason for his coming. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for that. All right, now, quickly, men have problems understanding about Jesus. Most of the so-called Christian society in this world, they look at Jesus as a good man, an example, a person of ethics, decency, and they think that he ranks as a prophet, perhaps whose ministry was akin to a Buddha, Muhammad, some of those leaders they have in the Orient, or even the Occident for that matter, trying to say that all he is a teacher among other teachers. And we should not only just read his works, our sacred scriptures, but others as well. But you're listening to a group of people around here today that believe this is the only book. God could have written about stars, atoms. We could have solved things centuries ago. And God knows the things that shall be discovered in the years ahead. God will give you all that in just a little while. But he wrote one book. And the whole thing is a story of the creation, the fall, and the restoration of man. And God calling that group, out of that group, a people for his name's sake to be in his kingdom. Praise the Lord. All right, what good is a kingdom without knowing something about the king? Jesus came now to speak to people. How long did he minister? 33.5 years. He lived here. His ministry was only 3.5 years. He spent 3.5 years talking exclusively about God. He spent 6 hours on a cross redeeming mankind. That's all. As far as saving the sinners, he spent 6 hours on that. He spent the rest of the time talking about the Father, talking about the Son. Praise the Lord. And I hope that you could find yourself somewhere in this message. Praise God. All right, did I give you that other scripture? All right, now let me explain. Before he preached Acts 2:38, he had to mention Acts 2:36. And it said in Acts 2:36 that this God made that same Jesus both. I said both. Lord and Christ. How many believe there's three Lords? Or two? Well, there's the Lord Jesus Christ and there's the Lord God Almighty. Now, the Trinitarians, they get hung up on that. Said, which one is Lord of the other? I'm so glad I run across this song years ago. The maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse, The claims of laws that he had made unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bough where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places he designed. He made the forests whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sun which hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The sky which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The spear that spilt his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But now a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. Hallelujah, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Elder, go to the 40th of Isaiah for me while you're waiting. Isaiah 49 to 11. How would God bring about the redemption, the restoration, the recovering of a people who are so enmeshed and entangled in sin? I want you people to know this. If you're going to serve the devil, you're going to sin. And sin gets you so tangled up, you can't easily get out of it. And we have people that are coming to God these days that are so tangled up, only a Solomon could try to figure out a way for them to get out of the thing. But I know one thing, God is a getter-outer. He don't get you into trouble, but He knows how to get you out. He don't put you down in it, but He's a lifter out. What did it say? You're a slow reader. I want the verses 9 to 11 of Isaiah 40. How come you haven't found it?
You got 43
down. All right, I haven't got to that part yet. I've got a lot of scripture. This is the way they used to preach. A lot of scripture. Read.
Oh, Zion! That bringeth good tidings.
These are good tidings. Get up to the high mountains.
Jerusalem. That bringeth good tidings.
Good tidings.
Lift up thy voice.
Lift up your voice.
With strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid.
And don't be afraid. Why are people afraid of this? Read on. I want you to say to the cities of Judah,
Behold your God!
Behold your God! What else did it say?
Behold, the Lord God will come!
Who's coming down? The Lord God city is coming! With a strong hand! What else?
And His arm shall rule for Him.
Behold!
His reward is with him.
And his work before him. And if you don't believe him for what he says, believe him for what the works look like.
Right.
You know what he said?
Yeah. He said, all right, I'll come. But I'm going to send an extension of myself out there. My arm is going to reach out. They didn't know who it was when he came.
Yeah.
When he came unto his own didn't receive him, but I tell you, that was God's arm that was there.
Yeah.
And that arm, it has a hand on it, too.
Yeah.
It has five fingers on it, too.
Yeah. I never will forget Brother Wilbur King. I used to hear him teach on the Godhead. He'd line five or six of us boys up, just a young Christian, sit us on the altar, each had a Bible, say, I want you to get Deuteronomy 6:4, I want you to go over here into Isaiah this and that, you go over here, and you go over here, Colossians, I want you over here. All right, now you give me your scripture, fine, now get this one, I'll get to you here in a minute, and I want you to give yours, and you said yours, you get this, and you go back and read to this fellow. He just went on like that for an hour and a half. I said, Brother King, where do you see all that? He said, read it on the wall. It is just before me. Praise the Lord. It's just before me all the time. Oh, God. Oh, God. Give your people a revelation. Help them not to be satisfied with a pitiful recitation when they could have a grand, glorious revelation. He said, send forth his arm. What did he say, preacher?
And he saw.
He looked around and said, I can't. And it'd be righteous. Angels couldn't have figured that plan out. None of us preachers could figure it out.
But God said, I found a way. I found a way.
He said, what did you do?
Noah can't come.
He didn't even send Enoch down after he took that sky ride. He said, I can't send him.
He never sent any. He couldn't send an Elijah. He didn't send anybody. I found a way.
I heard a black man preaching in Los Angeles many years ago. He said, when the world was all wrapped up in sin. Oh, I tell you, when a black man can preach, they get going with it. The crowd said, yes, amen, yes. He said he looked down and said, something needs to be done. He said, they're getting worse every day. Said, my holy eyes can't look on iniquity. Somebody has got to save them. And the father said, I can't go because I run this world. And the Holy Ghost said, it's not my time. And the son said, I'll go for you. Then he said, save my seat. I'll be back. Well, I really went over big, you know, with those people. But I found something better. Praise God. My God came down here and saved man and didn't lose his place. Nobody sat in his seat. He was still there. Get me, Matthew, chapter 11, verse 27. That's the whole package. All things
are delivered unto me of my Father.
Is that what it said?
No man knows the Son.
He had everything given unto him by his Father. All right, we'll get back to that.
No man knoweth the Son.
And Jesus said, nobody knows the Son.
But the Father.
What else?
No being man, the Father.
And you don't know the Father.
Say the Son.
Except the Son comes and tells you.
He to whomsoever the Son will reveal.
The Son has to reveal him.
Right. Yes.
This means that the Jews, who claim to be the people of God, didn't even know God.
Right.
You hear what I just said? They pride themselves in revelation. They raised their babies. When they went out the door, they had to get up and quote, The Lord, He is God. They had to say that there's none beside Him. They had to get out here and put that little Deuteronomy 6 and 4 out there. Right there on the door. They said it when they went out, when they came in. They believed in this revelation. They taught their children, we are different. We don't belong to the rest of the world. Praise God, we're separated. We have a revelation. They understood Him a little bit by some of His covenant names, His compound titles. Oh, but they didn't know. If they had known, my Bible said, they never would have crucified the Son of Glory. Have to have a revelation. Can you sit in the Oneness Church, let us baptize you in Jesus' name, and be satisfied with not knowing who your Christ really is? Who is He? What does He represent? Well, I'm here trying to tell you that Jesus came to reveal the Father. No, they didn't even understand the word Father until Jesus got there and He portrayed God as a Father. As a Father. Isn't that right? All right. Father and then, of course, the Son. People don't understand this. Jesus had to interpret this. I know that hell invented the Trinity doctrine. They have just put it, if you want to know Revelation, you won't find it in commentaries on that. You won't find it there. You just have to take what Jesus has said. Well, how can I understand God? That's simple. Study Jesus. Just study about Jesus. Listen to what He said. Take it just like it is. Praise the Lord. When He began to talk, people either fell down and worshiped Him or wanted to stone Him. One way or the other. Isn't that right? Jesus Christ then came to be a revealer of this great God. You have it, Elder? All those other scriptures I gave you. You ready for them now? You wanted them. I'm ready to give them to you.
Chapter 1, verse 35. You ought to be able to quote it right along with the preacher. You've been here long enough. You've been in this thing long enough.
Praise the Lord.
And the angel answered and said to her,
yes,
the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee.
Yes.
Thou art the highest shall overshadow thee.
Yes.
Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
All right. When this child was to be born, it had this title already, the Son of God. I do not believe in an eternal sonship. They taught me, and I took years ago when I started out, I took your Presbyterian course. I just a young man took it all. All of Amy McPherson, she had a Bible school across the street, took her course, took the Assemblies of God course, still didn't help me, never could figure it out, ever learning, never came to any revelation. But one day, somebody gave me a little tract on the Godhead, and a light turned on. Praise the Lord. It made sense. It made sense to me. And I'm so thankful here that one day God showed me who He was. All right. Now, He came then as a Son. The Bible said that when He came, I had the other verse given to us here, that this Son, the Father put all things into His hand. Well, if all things then were put in the hands of the Son, what did the Father have left? If all means all, then Christ, if Christ lived before he came, let's say he lived, and there was real corporate being here, a body that he had, a physical thing, what happened to that other body? All right? Did all three of them have part of this all? Part God, part glory, part majesty? Did each of them share in that one thing? A third of mighty, yes. Did they have that? Or did God himself have it all because it wasn't a Holy Ghost time yet? Or did he, when he gave the Son all, did suddenly the Son have it all and then the Father had nothing? Was a God suddenly up there that was just devoid of any strength or power or ability or majesty or glory? Did he have anything at all? Praise the Lord. Where was the Son then in eternity past? That Son was in the plan of God. He was in the program. Praise the Lord. He was there only in the blueprint. That God who sees the end from the beginning can call those things which be not as though they were. Praise the Lord. He lives in the ever-present now. There's no yesterdays or tomorrows with him. Oh, when he formed the plan, he saw it done. He saw a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Praise God, before there was a man born down here, God saw it all. He chose this church to be a glorious representation of himself on this earth. All right. Let us begin reading. You read the Luke 1:35. Let me take Isaiah 9:6 again. Let's have that one, sir.
When there is a child is born.
Yes.
When the Son is given.
Yes.
Government shall be upon his shoulder.
We have a child born, Son given, with a government on his shoulder.
And his name.
And his name.
Shall be called Wonderful.
It'll be wonderful. How many believe that that name is wonderful? I believe we're Gentiles here. Malachi said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be great among the Gentiles. What is a great name above every name?
Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for that wonderful, wonderful name. What else did it say, preacher?
Counselor.
Mighty God. The mighty God.
The everlasting Father.
Everlasting Father.
Prince of Peace.
And the Prince of Peace. One Trinitarian said one time, he said, well, he's just the mighty God. He said, there's another one up there that's almighty. I said, read the next one. Next clause. He's the everlasting Father. How many believe Jesus is the Father? They used to have little Stella guitars, tambourines. Nobody had an organ. Old, tall, upright pianos. The ivory were missing. It looked like an old man would have his teeth knocked out, you know. Like, you didn't know it was the black keys or the white ones, hardly. And they just courted, you know. They'd play about like I would if I'd learned how. But people had church. I mean, some of those, I remember one fellow back there, he had a purple sock on and a black one. Well, that's all they had. Well, he started a trend. You know, later on they figured that out in colleges. Well, Pentecost had that to start with. They copied a lot of things from us. Stole our music. Praise the Lord, a whole lot of things. But oh, I want to thank God that one day God came and done something about this. He gave us a revelation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. What else did it say?
Of the increase of his government and peace.
Yes.
There shall be no end.
No end. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 31. While he's going there, I just simply want to tell you that you must study the Lord if you want this revelation. Just keep following this. You know, I always appreciate what Colossians had to say, that we are complete in Him. Love the song you used to sing, Brother Evans, on that. We are complete, complete in Him. And I remember some of the people told me when I came this way and I left the Trinity Church, I really started preaching there. And in those days, they didn't have many preachers. And so I started out there, and I remember some of my family, and they said, "Oh, it's a shame. You don't want to go that way." I said, "You don't want to go that way." So I merely flipped the pages over to the book of Acts and began to quote Acts 2:38, and they said, "Shut up. We don't want to hear that." Well, you can't go anywhere if you won't hear truth. If you won't take the Bible, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, well, you know, you just can't argue with the Bible. The Bible is our final authority. It's the supreme court of all. And when it's made its decree and decision, it's finished, friend. Take it or leave it. There it is. Praise God. And so I'm glad that one day I found out how to be complete in Him. And the whole thing was this in those days. You're Jesus only, people. You deny the Father. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't deny Him. We know where to find Him. We locate Him in Christ. Paul said that when he saw his God, it would be in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where He was. Praise the Lord. We don't deny Him. We know where to find Him. What kind of God do you have? Someone with a long white whisker here, and then the sun, and then the dove. They never really have found out what to do about Him. They just leave Him as a bird out here. The Holy Ghost, you know. They don't even... You've seen pictures in old family Bibles. It'll show the Father there on a cloud. I saw one where they were baptizing John. Or rather, Jesus, pardon me. He's out there in the water. Baptizing Jesus. And they standing in the water, waist deep, and had a cup. No telling what artist. That artist, he was somebody. And he was pouring it on the head of Jesus. A cup of water. If you got somebody that far in the water, just splash him all the way in, you know. And here was the Father on a cloud looking down, making sure it's done right, you know. And standing there. Well, that's not what we believe. You know, this is a group here that's not ashamed to read what's on any page of the Word of God. Too many church folks will only read over here, but they won't read over there. Take it all, friend. All of them. Take every bit of it. Praise the Lord. Let's have your scripture there in Corinthians.
The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore.
This God is blessed forever.
Read. Knoweth that I lie not.
I'm not lying. Read on. 2 Corinthians 11:31. All right. Now, that's all of it. Well, it said enough, didn't it? All right, I have a Father. He read that Jesus was my Father. Oh, I want to milk it all out of there.
Yes, sir.
Jesus was my Father. How many believe Jesus is your Father? All right. Jesus is my Father. Said He was the everlasting Father. It didn't matter when I got into this thing. When I got in here, I already have a Father. When Jesus came down here, He taught us to pray. You pray like this, our Father. He taught us how to pray to the Father. Isn't that true? I did not hear all He had from His mouth, but I believed on what His apostles and His disciples had to say about it. And because of that, when He prayed for me in John 17, that means I can get through. I believe their word. This word is right. All right, He then is my Father. I'm in Him, He's in me. But He also read that Jesus Christ had a Father. And then also He had a God. If Jesus is my Father, then the Father of Jesus is my grandfather. And then the grandfather has a God. That means I've got a great grandfather up there. Somewhere. If you listen to what some people try to interpret, it don't make sense. But aren't you glad that Jesus is all and in all? It's all in Him. Why don't you just take the book like it is? Instead of trying to twist it and make it fit your idea or what somebody taught you, it would be better for us to bring somebody in, a Hottentot from Africa, an Aborigine from the upper place there in Australia. Bring somebody in, don't even know a thing about God, and set them down, they'll get it to Revelation just like that. But people are remembering what their mother taught them. Little songs. Some people write songs. Half the songs are written in our songbook don't have a thing to do with Scripture. Somebody don't have an ounce of knowledge or revelation about spiritual things will say things in there that have no meaning at all. All there is just a little movement with it. That's about all that there is to it. But oh, now and then somebody wrote a song that touched the heart of God and blessed the saints of God for time immemorial. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. That if you don't take the book just like it is, you'll end up deluded. Oh, isn't that right, preacher?
Yeah.
I know so many people are worried about this. You don't need to worry about this. It'll stand the test of every kind of a debate. You don't have to worry about Alexander Campbell and all of his crowd. Campbellites want a debate. You know, when you turn on the radio and they're there, as soon as they say the word baptize, there's one right there. They'll baptize. Whatever, I can't say it. But anyway, all of that, just they have the same little touch. Same wooden head like the brother preached on last night. Nothing registers in there. You show them right here in black and white. We have some debaters here. They can debate. I don't know how. I'm merely taking what's here. All right. How many believe that you really got the Holy Ghost?
Oh, yeah.
What happened when you got the Holy Ghost?
Spoke in
tongues. If this Holy Ghost hasn't changed your life, friend, something happened.
Right.
Something happened to you.
Right.
When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to let go of all your yesterdays. It'll change your lifestyle. You'll have a brand new father. You'll have a brand new mother. The church will be your mother. God will be your father. Praise the Lord. And because God is your father, you've got to get baptized in His name, which is the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. If you don't learn this, you'll be marrying charismatic people pretty soon. You'll be fellowshipping them. You'll say, well, I'll join them for a while so I can win them. You don't win anybody. You just get yourself dirty and confused, and you sell out. You want to thank God the truth? Jesus has it all. Stay with Him. He has it all. Okay.
You're my witnesses.
You're my witnesses.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
My servant whom I have chosen.
And my servant whom I have chosen.
You may know and believe me.
You need to know me and believe me. If there's anything that I could thank God for, we get in a tight place, and I've had my back to the wall, but I'm glad I could talk to Him like a father. I want to know Him. I've been close enough to Him to know His lifestyle. I know how to please Him. And I know what He likes and what He don't like. He said, why you preachers preach certain ways? Well, we know what He wants. And we know what He don't like. That you may know Him. You can know Him, friend. Read on.
And understand that I am He.
You need to understand that I am He.
Before me there was no God.
There won't be any God before me. Never was, never would be.
There
won't be any God after me.
I, even I,
am the Lord. And beside me, there's no Savior. How in the world can any creature of clay that has, 1% mentality even, if you got one thing there that's got a slight wrinkle in it, you know. I mean, if your brain is like a smooth piece of paper or something, I could understand. But I'm surely somewhere there's been some wrinkle put in there at all, some degree of intelligence. If you can understand black and white, I mean, if you've even got beyond primer somehow, surely, you know, you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can say ABCs and maybe a couple more. At least got that far. That's enough intelligence to let you know that God said there's nobody before Him, none after Him.
All right.
Didn't He say it? And He said He was the Savior. All alone, all by Himself. We don't need anything else. If there wasn't any other scripture in the Bible, that's enough. Oh, no, I've got to have 2 or 3 witnesses. You mean you don't trust God one time?
Yes, sir.
The 2 or 3 witnesses are for people like us. Bishop Johnson said we're all liars, you know. So, the book says, every man be a liar, but let God be true. God speaks once, that's enough. But He has chosen to make sure that some people who are hard of hearing, that you keep stumbling over this. If you're not honest, you listen to me. If you're not honest to take the book just like it is, God will let you stumble and mess up and lose out and quit. And never go beyond your little silly denomination or your little pitiful empty experience and no reality. You'll stay there and die.
Right.
So I don't believe that. Well, you read the book of John, chapter 8, verse 21, verse 24, verse 28, where God's speaking, or Jesus is speaking about the Father. And He said, if you don't believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. And they understood not that He spake to them of the Father. I'm glad I found out who He was. I would hate to spend all this time in a church that didn't have anything to offer. But this church gave me revelation that I thank God for. 44 and 6 now, Elder.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord. Who?
The King of Israel.
The King of Israel.
And his Redeemer. The Lord of hosts.
Here's that extension. What? The Lord of hosts.
I am the first.
I'm the first.
I'm the last.
I'm the last. All right, there was none before Him, none after Him, and I haven't got anybody beside Him.
And who has eyes shall call?
Yes? Well, who's going to call?
And shall declare it.
Who's going to declare it?
It's an order for me.
Yes, sir.
Since I appointed the ancient people,
yes,
and the things that are coming,
yes,
and shall come, let them show the land.
Yeah.
Fear ye not.
Why do they fear? What are you afraid of? Don't you want to know who He is?
Have not I told thee from the time that have declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside thee? Yea, there is no God. I know not any.
God made sure that we established this point. Said there's nobody before me, nobody after me, nobody beside me. And He said, I don't know of any. He said there was none with Him in one place. He said He was alone. Said He was by Himself. So somebody says, you know, I was talking to this Trinitarian. Now, how do you answer them? Well, the quickest way I know how is, how do you explain who God was talking to? Well, the first thing you need to do is explain who He was not talking to. He wasn't talking to any other God. That's the book. No other God. Praise the Lord. All right, I just have to hurry on. I see time's getting away. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, somebody said here, I'm going to have to abort this thing. Let's go here now, the Holy Ghost.
God said the Lord that created the heavens.
Yes.
God Himself.
Yes.
Formed the earth and made it.
All right.
He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else.
That's positive.
Here.
He made this earth, put people in it, and He's going to remain God over it too. And He said there wasn't anything else. All right, preacher, let's go over. Yes.
Bring them near.
Yes.
Here, let them take counsel together.
Yes.
declared this from ancient times.
Yes.
Who have told it from that time. Am not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside.